I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." He says, "Learn from me." Think about it, the Savior of the world, the government on His shoulders. He says, "Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble of heart." Well, maybe you're running on fumes these days. And if you are, well, you've come to the right place. God has a life rhythm for you that involves times of rest and replenishment, intimate times of prayer with your Creator. And you can develop spiritual practices that ignite your faith and restore your soul. In fact, I think we live in a day that this is just essential in our walk with the Lord. You know, we need to be hearing what God is saying to His people. And He speaks to those who are waiting and watching, not to those who are rushing, racing, and stressing. So most days on this show, I'm asking for your engagement today. I just want you to rest. I'm praying that today's show and the conversations and the prayers are just a healing balm for your soul. Asherita Chuchu joins me today. I always love talking with her. We always bring her on at Advent and the Lenten season, but she just released a gorgeous hardcover devotional. It is just like sitting on your coffee table. It is just so stunning. It's the content is so rich. It's titled Prayers of Rest, Daily Prompts to Slow Down and Hear God's Voice. Maybe you feel like, I don't know where to start in prayer. I'm embarrassed to ask, or I feel stuck. I pray the same things all at the same time. We'll answer some of those questions as well. But the one question I do want to ask you before we get started, so I did told you I wasn't going to ask for engagement, and then I just changed my mind. So this is my one question. What is at the top of your prayer list? What is the one thing that you keep returning to the Lord time and time again? What is the top of your prayer list? If you feel so led, would you text me 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Well, I don't know if you've noticed on Faith Radio, we have a theme every month, and we try to just arrange some of our programming around that, and we tackle the topic, and you'll hear some imagers and liners when you're listening to Faith Radio. Well, this month of June, the theme is forgiveness, and we really are believing that it's going to be a breakthrough month. So I pray you lean in. I pray you stay humble. I pray you trust God, and I pray that He will lead you into triumph. Also want you to know we got a handful of copies of Asherita's book, Prayers of Rest, Daily Prompts to Slow Down and Hear God's Voice. You just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Asherita Chuchu is an author, speaker, blogger. She grew up in Romania as a missionary kid and studied English and women's ministry at Cedarville University in Ohio. Her passion is helping women find joy in Jesus through a deeper walk with God. Asherita is married to Flavu. I think I'm saying his name right. I think I probably get it wrong every time. And together they raise their spunky children in Northeast Ohio. Asherita, I'm so sorry. Tell me again how to say your husband's name. I ask you every time. I'm so sorry.
Susie, that's all right. Thanks so much for having me. His name is Flavio, like a view, a vista. Yeah.
Flavio. Wow. Those are two very cool names. Wow. Well, you've been on plenty of times, so you know we love to start every day just making it personal. And I'm just wondering, what has the Lord been speaking to your heart about these days?
Yeah. I mean, this is going to sound redundant, but it is around the theme of rest. Now, you know, we're switching seasons from the school year into the summer, and just having an opportunity to kind of change our schedule with the kids. And as I was, you know, spending the last few weeks praying over what the next few months should look like, there's just this invitation that I felt the Lord inviting me into a season of doing less. You know, this, like, launching a book can be a lot of fun and also a lot of work. And it's just been so sweet, and that verse that you read from Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, just Jesus' invitation, like, come to me, step into the yoke with me. I am gentle and humble, lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. And so even though that's been kind of the theme that I've been, you know, encouraging others on, it's been so sweet to have the Lord just turn around and encourage me to step into a season of rest as well. And so I'm excited for what that's going to look like, and a little bit eager to see, can we play this out? Because it starts out with just, you know, a few days of activities and mostly clear schedule. And then by the end of the summer, it just feels like our schedules get jam-packed. So just looking forward to walking in obedience in the Spirit as He leads us into the summer of rest.
Well, summer of rest. I like the sound of that. That is amazing. That's one of our themes this summer as well. Looking forward to exploring that. But talk about how this concept of rest and just prayers of rest first entered your heart.
It ebbs and flows. Like I can see looking back kind of the seeds and where the Lord planted the seeds of prayers of rest in my heart. But really the marker was 2 weeks into the COVID-19 lockdown. When I just felt, as much as I love my family and as much as I enjoyed our time together, on a regular basis, when we were all locked in together for 2 weeks straight and not really knowing what the future would hold in 2020, and so many uncertainties, so much fear for many people, and a lot of relational tensions happening too. And I'm an introvert and my family was home with me, and it was just, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And there was this overwhelming sense of angst. And Susie, I had a panic attack for the first time in my life. I was standing at the kitchen sink and my heart was racing, and my palms got sweaty and my vision got dark, like tunnel vision. And I was just so puzzled, like, what is happening to my body right now? I've never experienced this before. And in hindsight, yes, it was a panic attack, but in that moment, like, I couldn't even catch my breath. And the kids were arguing over something in the living room, like whose toy it is or whose turn it is or whatever. And it felt like the only place in the house I could get away to was in the laundry room. So I ran to the laundry room. I shut the door behind me. I like leaned back against the wall and just slid to the floor and tried to slow my breathing, because my breath was coming so quickly. And I just kept thinking, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what's happening in the world. Like, everything's shut down. I don't know what the future holds. Like, I'm trying to school my kids at home, and my husband and I are both trying to work from home, and I just can't do this anymore. And in that place of turmoil and angst and worry and fear, just that repeating soundtrack over and over again in my head, I can't do this anymore. My own body feeling like it was betraying me, into that space, God's calm, quiet voice just spoke these words over me: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Words from Psalm 46 that I'd memorized long ago. And wow, what a promise. And I sat with that for a moment, and then I thought, yeah, but I can't do this anymore. That's great, but I've never encountered this before. I just can't do this anymore. And again, His voice: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And Susie, over the next 10 minutes, it was like the soundtrack of my fear, even though it was still on repeat, it was getting quieter and quieter. And the still small voice of God's word was speaking louder and louder, until finally my heart rate had calmed down, my breathing had slowed down, and I was just meditating on a new soundtrack. God is my refuge. He is my strength. He is very present right now in my time of trouble. And in that space, just that transformation of my mind and my thoughts, and even, you know, my body experiencing, going from a panic attack, experiencing then kind of that restful state of being held in God's presence, our refuge, our tower, the one we can run to. And it was such a precious encounter with God. And at the same time, Susie, I became hyper aware that I can't continue into the foreseeable future, because we didn't even know how long we would be all locked into our homes together. We didn't know what the future would look like. And I knew that I can't keep doing things the way I was doing them, because on my own, I didn't have enough strength to continue. And I felt like I was on the path to a mental breakdown, legitimately so. Like, I didn't think I could emotionally and mentally endure what laid ahead for me. And then I realized God is inviting me to find my refuge in him in this season, during COVID, during the political tension, during like what was happening in our churches and in our homes, just everything happening. God is inviting me to make him my refuge and find my rest in him. Am I going to take him up on it? And I think because of how disruptive that experience had been physically, as well as mentally and emotionally, I realized like, I need time with Jesus every day. Like, I'm going to wake up every morning, even though all my friends are like staying up and watching Netflix. And that's what I want to do. I know that I need to make time to be with God, for my own spiritual and emotional and physical health. And so I invited my friends online on Instagram. I told them I'm going to go live tomorrow morning and 7 a.m. for prayer. If anyone wants to join me, I'll be doing this for the foreseeable future. And the next morning I did, I woke up at like 6:30. I'm like, why did I think this was a good idea? What if no one else shows up? Like, I could be sleeping right now. And even though my finger was shaking as I hit that go live button, I thought, you know, even if no one else shows up, I know I need this. I need this time with God. I need rest in his presence. And what followed, Susie, just, oh, God's goodness and grace just blows me away. Like, that first day, dozens of women from around the world joined in for prayer and said, I need this. This is exactly what I need. And day after day, for 8 weeks straight, every Monday through Friday, we would gather together to pray for 30 minutes in the midst of this global pandemic. We were finding our rest in God's presence. We were praying scripture. We were reciting God's goodness and expressing our need for him and taking time to seek his stillness and trust him to be faithful. And our experiences, just the testimonies of these women who gathered together, it was so completely different. Like, we all experienced the hardship of 2020, and yet there was a rest and comfort and peace that we just drank in the living water day after day in God's presence. And it just, such an incredible experience. Susie, that's where it started. It then turned into a podcast because some people weren't able to join us live and the replays were only available for 24 hours. So then it turned into the Prayers of Rest podcast. And now it's in book form because listeners wanted to be able to pray these prayers, even if they didn't, you know, weren't able to tune into the podcast. So hundreds of thousands of people at this point have prayed either on live prayer calls, on the podcast, through this book. We did a 5-day prayer dare a couple weeks ago that we had 2,000 participants join us to pray God's promises every day for 5 days. And it just blows me away how God can take the most difficult, hard, broken parts of our stories and turn it into something beautiful because he is in it.
Wow. So good. So good. We're going to pause here talking to Asherita Chuchu. Her book, Prayers of Rest, Daily Prompts to Slow Down and Hear God's Voice. And she's one who writes the way she speaks. Just these every day, we'll walk through a few of these where you recite God's goodness, you express your neediness, you seek his stillness, and you trust his faithfulness, and all kinds of topics from scripture. I asked you, what's at the top of your prayer list? I'm so grateful for those of you who texted in. This dear one says, my daily prayer to strengthen my faith and increase my humility. Kathy says, my family is always number one, my number one prayer. Let's see here. Tracy says that my young grandkids would know and believe in Jesus, and that I would know his love more and more, and that I would love Jesus more. This one says, praying for unsaved family members. Tom says, breakthrough and direction. May the Lord answer your prayers. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment.
Here I am, here you are. I let out the sounds of my
Thank you, Lord. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Asherita Choo-Choo. I love this dear woman. And she's got a gorgeous hardcover, beautiful devotional book. Listen to the title, Prayers of Rest. Doesn't that just calm your heart? Daily prompts to slow down and hear God's voice. Got a handful of copies of this gorgeous book. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. The story of what led you to this place. It is so amazing. My producer Kim and I were praying before the show and just sort of marveling how God really does meet us in the ashes of our pain, and he does bring beauty out of ashes. It's what he does. It's who he is. It's how he is. And we must never lose hope. The fact that he is a redeemer, he is a restorer. Will you use the acronym REST to guide us through the process? I want to take these one by one. The first one is recite God's goodness. So each daily reading follows this sort of template. And the first one, again, recite God's goodness. Say a word about that.
Sure. So whether you're praying scripture or in the midst of hard emotions, like anger or bitterness, or there's a tricky relationship that's happening, so many situations where we feel compelled to pray. And I find it so helpful to start by reciting God's goodness, by looking at who God is and what he has done in our lives. It just helps to reframe whatever the problem is that we're facing. Suddenly it doesn't seem as great when we remember who God is. And so in that laundry room moment, for example, that the truth from Psalm 46, verse 1, that God is our refuge. God is the one we can run to. Just taking time to thank him for that, to say, God, thank you that you are always available to me. You're not a capricious God like the Greek and Roman gods that were only available on good days, only when we're on our good behavior, only when we bring a perfect sacrifice. Thank you, God, that because of Jesus, we have access to you anytime, anywhere, no matter what situation we're facing. Thank you that you are the strong tower. In the midst of the storm, we can run to you. And so when we're praying scripture, I like to look at the verse and just ask, you know, what does this tell me about God? And how can I praise him? How can I recite that he is good? We see this in the Old Testament where God tells his people that they are to tell from one generation to the next the great works that God has done. And I'm convinced that there are stories of God's goodness and faithfulness that die every generation because we fail to recite them to ourselves, to our families, to our grandchildren. We fail to tell one another how good God has been. So when we take time instead at the beginning of a prayer to recite God's goodness, it is our way of reframing our experience under the realm of God's sovereignty, his presence, his goodness, his mercy toward us. And then everything else kind of falls into place in an appropriate perspective. That's just such a great place to start.
Wow, that's just beautiful. So recite God's goodness. The second point is to express your neediness.
Sure. And I think, you know, many of us, when we think of prayer, we think of asking God for things, and that's appropriate. Like Jesus tells us that God is a good father who gives good gifts to his children. And so when we start by reciting God's goodness, we remember who he is, and then we can move to express our needs in light of that reality. Like, because God is our refuge, because he is our tower, because he's the one where we can run to, that then holds up a mirror to our hearts. And we're able to confess, like for me in that moment, to say, God, if I'm being honest, I don't usually run to you. Like, I'm more likely to run to the pantry or run to my phone or run to some way of distracting or numbing myself in a hard situation instead of making you the first one that I run to. So God, would you forgive me? I confess that tendency to run elsewhere. Would you just focus my heart on you? There's that beautiful hymn. I have the lyric right now. I'm looking at it right above my desk. It says, "Bind my wandering heart to thee." Mm-hmm. What a great prayer. What a great way to express our need, that my heart tends to wander. God, would you keep bringing it back to you. So looking at the verse that we're praying through, if we're praying scripture, we can say, what does this tell me about things that I need to confess? What needs are there? Whether there's sin to confess or there's a burden that I'm carrying. You know, First Peter says that we are to cast all our cares upon God because he cares for us. And this is such a good place to do that, to pray, confessing specific sins that the passage brings to mind, but also verbalizing those needs for spiritual growth or for the fruit of the Spirit in our lives in a situation. So we begin by reciting God's goodness, and then we take time to express our neediness.
We're talking about this pattern of prayer using REST as an acronym. Recite God's goodness, express your neediness, seek his stillness. What do you say?
Okay, Susie, this is the part where I struggle. and this is why the S in REST comes in the middle, seeking God's stillness, because I've for the longest time just had the tendency in prayer to talk, tell God all the things, and then say, okay, good chat, God, amen, and move on with my day. And unless we build in intentional time to slow down, to be still, to be quiet, to listen for God's voice, we might miss what he wants to say to us. And when we look in, there's this beautiful story with Elijah where he was wanting an answer from God, and the winds came, but God wasn't in the wind, and the storm came, but God wasn't in the storm. All these like majestic displays of power, but God's voice was not in those. Instead, God's voice came in a still small voice, a whisper. That's where God's voice came in. And Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted over the nations. I will be exalted over the earth. And so now that we have recited God's goodness, we've worshiped him for who he is, we've expressed our needs and confessed our sins and received his forgiveness and cast our cares on him, now it's time to be quiet, to just be still, to sit with God, to become aware of his loving presence surrounding us and within us. Jesus says that because he's going to the Father, he's going to send his Spirit, his comforter, the guide, the teacher, the one who will dwell in us. The New Testament calls God's Spirit a seal of what is to come. And so God places his own Spirit within us. We get to be still with him. Mm-hmm. And so often I find that in this time, God uses scripture to speak.
So great. We're going to pause here. Talking to Asherita Chuchu. Got a hard break coming up. We're going to talk about the T in the acronym REST. We've talked about recite God's goodness, express your neediness, seek his stillness. What a beautiful progression. And then finally, trust his faithfulness. And I'll read some examples from her book, celebrating the release of this gorgeous hardcover prayer devotional, Prayers of Rest. Who doesn't need their heart to be at rest? And I tell you, this changes your physiology when you learn to rest in the Lord and converse with him and cast your cares on him. Everything changes. More with Asherita in a moment.
There is no limit to your endless love. Just when I doubt it, there is so much more. A rushing waterfall that overflows. It's filling canyons in my soul.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live, talking to Asherita Chuchu. She's a best-selling author and speaker, blogger, podcaster. Her brand new book, gorgeous hardcover book, Prayers of Rest, Daily Prompts to Slow Down and Hear God's Voice. This book has a classic look and a classic feel. It's not trendy at all. It's something that you will probably hand down through the ages to your grandchildren and their grandchildren. It's gorgeous. We've been walking through the acronym REST because it's sort of a prayer pattern that you establish on with each daily reading. And, you know, these only take a few minutes, but I think you could sit with this for an hour. You could take as long as you want. And I would say give yourself time and space to sit with God and ponder his goodness, ponder your neediness, ponder and listen in that still place for his voice. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933 2484. So we've been working our way through the acronym REST. R is recite God's goodness. E is express your neediness. S is seek his stillness. Now, T is trust his faithfulness. Talk about that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked about this before, Susie. I feel like we all suffer from soul amnesia. We forget mm-hmm. who God is and what he's done from one day to the next. And I think one of the best ways for us to combat that is to preach to our own hearts and souls the story of the gospel, how God has been faithful throughout history, and how our own story finds its place in that narrative framework. And so we take time to remember how God has been faithful, to think back on situations in our lives when we found ourselves in a similar place, in a similar relational struggle, or just a similar space of wrestling with fear or anxiety, and how God has been faithful to meet us in that place, to give us the peace because he's the Prince of Peace, to supply for all of our needs, including that one bill that's overdue, because he's the one who owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and he's going to be faithful in this situation that we're in right now. Or he's the one who is the good shepherd and leads us to green pastures. And we can look back on how he's done that for us in the past and remind ourselves that he will be faithful to do that even now. And so this T, the rest and prayers of rest, is a time for us to remind ourselves that God is faithful, but also to declare, God, I trust you. This is an active posture of saying, because of who you are and what you've done, I choose now to walk into my day, to walk into this relationship, to walk into this situation in a place of trust that you will be faithful. I can rest in you because you are the God who is at work. I can look with expectancy for how you will move in this time, in this space, in this place of need. And God, when I see you moving, I'm going to be the first one to recite how good you are. And so here we go again, kind of continuing that cycle of rest as we take time to become aware of how God is good, how he's faithful, how he's moving. We start to see him doing that in our lives. And so this idea of slowing down and hearing God's voice, these times of prayers of rest really transforms the rest of the time as well. We're moving in a spirit of prayer, always in conversation with God, always looking for how he's moving and what he's prompting us to do, and being quick to obey as his spirit nudges us to do that one thing. What a beautiful relational conversation that can just keep going all day long.
Boy, it is so beautiful. And I'm looking at this acronym REST. You know, if you go through the motions, nothing's going to happen. But if you really do approach this as a spiritual transaction, you, by the time you get to trust his faithfulness, you're ready to trust his faithfulness, because first you recite his goodness. And these four women that have just been charged by God to walk with me till I'm healed, it's been amazing. We pray every Wednesday morning. They're so focused on God's word, and they always start out with, what are the wins? What are the praise reports? How have you seen God's goodness spring up from the ground? They start there. We do recite his goodness. And they're like, what do you need? It really is almost following this completely, and what's mm-hmm. been difficult, and what any setbacks. And then we sit with the Lord and we listen for him, and then we declare his faithfulness. It really is kind of amazing. But when you walk through that, where you really are reciting his goodness, being honest about your need, pause and listen for his voice, there is a supernatural transaction where you cast your cares and you receive his peace. And that's biblical. It's in scripture. And that, as you say, you can go through your day then from a place of rest and reliance on the Lord. And that is intimate fellowship, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like you said, it is something spiritual that happens. And it's also rooted in physiology and brain science. Mm-hmm. Like when we take time to slow down, when we, in that S, seeking God's stillness, as we become quiet, as we quiet our minds and our hearts to listen to God's voice, even our breathing becomes deeper, and that changes things in our brains. Like, it brings a sense of calmness. And I can't help but think that God knows that. Like, mm-hmm. God made mm-hmm. us. He created us. He knows that it's not good for us to be rushing and hustling and always in a hurry. It's not good for our spirits. It's not good for our bodies either. And so this practice of taking time to rest and be still in his presence, it really does rejuvenate our hearts and our spirits and our bodies as well.
Very good. Well, you've been referring to Psalm 46, one of those chapters I love so much. So we're going to read that reading. God is our refuge. And the verse is Psalm 46, 1 through 2. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Maybe you need to hear that today. God is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, you do not need to fear. Now we're going to recite God's goodness. Oh God, my refuge, you command the universe, yet you long for a relationship with those you created. What a privilege. Thank you that you are not removed from your creation, but you are here with us, our refuge and strength, always present, always loving. Thank you, Lord. Now we express our neediness. I confess that even though you're available, so often I don't run to you. It's so easy to run to my phone, to my pantry, to my preferred distraction instead of running to you. My heart is prone to wander. Draw me back to yourself in steadfast love and devotion. And now we seek his stillness. And here she says, confess what distracts you from running to God and ask him to give you a desire for himself. Then sit quietly with your loving God, who desires to be your refuge and your strength. And then finally, we trust his faithfulness. Lord God, because of your perfect love, I have nothing to fear. No matter how bad things get, I am not a slave to fear, because perfect love casts out fear, and you are love. So I place before you the very things that cause my heart to tremble, and I trust you. It's so simple, but it's so deep. It's just, it's beautiful.
Mm. Thank you for reading that, Susie. And what a privilege. The God of the universe, the one who created everything, who set the world into motion, and sent Jesus, the Son of God. It's because of him that we have access to the Father. He is our high priest. He's the one who always lives to make intercession for us. What a privilege that we get to come to him and find rest for our souls. What an incredible
really
gift.
Really amazing. So amazing. Here's a prayer about resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, you humbled yourself by walking dusty roads, washing dirty feet, and touching the shunned. Not only are you good, but you're powerful, Lord, above all. If anyone is trustworthy with my life, my burdens, and my loved ones, it is you. I trust you. Maybe speak to that person listening today. You know, a number of the texts that came in, the concerns are for loved ones, unsaved loved ones, prodigal loved ones. What do you say to that person listening today who's like, it's visceral for me. I physically feel the stress and the burden that I'm carrying for my loved ones.
First of all, I think what a privilege we have that we get to bring our loved ones to Jesus. And I think of the friends who brought their lame friend and lowered him through the roof to bring him to Jesus. That's the privilege that we have for one another, that we can carry one another's burdens, that sometimes we carry one another, maybe not in a physical sense, but in our prayers, we bring them before the Lord. And Susie, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I've had moments where I was so brokenhearted and just in such a place of neediness that I didn't even have the words to pray. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have I felt like I can't. And in those moments, being able to reach out to friends and say, would you please pray? Because I don't know that I can right now. And that is a unique privilege that is ours, to carry one another's burdens, to pray for one another, to believe on behalf of one another. And with that man that was lowered through the roof, Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And then he looks at him and says, get up and walk, roll up your mat and walk. And And it's interesting to me that the text doesn't say anything about that man's faith, but rather it commends the faith of the friends who brought him, the faith of those who carried him. And throughout scripture, we see that the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. Mm-hmm. And God so invites us to collaborate with him and co-work with his Spirit working in the world through our prayers. So yes, it can be disheartening when we pray and pray and we don't see the answer that we're hoping for. It can feel like we're waiting and waiting, but God is moving even in the waiting. God is doing something in our hearts as we continue to pray and without giving up. Let us not grow weary of doing good, because in due season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are praying for a loved one, you're praying for a friend, you're praying for their salvation, or you're praying for them through infertility or through chronic illness, whatever the situation is that you are praying on their behalf, do not grow weary. We serve a good God who gives good gifts to his children. Sometimes it's not on our timetable. Sometimes it doesn't look the way we want it to look. And yet he invites us to bring all of our requests, to cast all our needs, and to bring our friends to him as well.
Boy, amen and amen. You know, toward the beginning of COVID, I said on this show, I think it's time to start an underground prayer movement. And what I meant was to each person connect with 4, 5, 6 other people who are like-minded and who love Jesus and pray, start praying, because there's so many things that require prayer right now. But I didn't realize how, I think, important that word was. As I've been walking through this healing journey with these different women that the Lord has charged to walk with me and pray with me until I'm physically healed, and the layers of healing that have happened. I'm an intercessor at heart. I mean, I spend a lot of time in prayer. That is my first and foremost thing, is intimacy with God and intercession. But I feel like I've been schooled by these women as far as just upping the game of learning the power of praying in one accord based on God's word. And we are seeing things change. So I want to go back to what I said 2 years ago, and even based on what you're saying here in this book, that if we could come together, and we don't dictate to God, he dictates to us, but the alternate kind of pattern of seeking God and then knowing God, getting to know his character, so you know the God that you're praying to, you know you have a biblical basis on which you're standing as you pray, and we come together. The enemy has done so much to cause isolation and cause fear, and those are the two things that disable, I think, super powerful prayers. But if we can come together and start to believe God and get to know him more so we're more confident in his character, and then find rest in him and pray that mountains move because of what he's promised, things are going to start to change in our midst. And I even just think the idea that in the midst of you having a panic attack and then you feeling, I am not going to numb out, I'm going to engage. And you engaged with women early in the morning on Instagram. I mean, it started a movement, Asherita, because you know, it's like you can almost know if the enemy's attacking me, he's surely attacking others. And when I hear a godly testimony, if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. When we start to understand we're not as alone as we think, and we start to engage with people in faith, we start to see things happen. I would love for you just to talk a little bit more about just the ripple effect of what happened when you all started to pray together.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible in my own life, was experiencing that peace and developing a pattern throughout the day of running to Jesus in prayer using this rest model. But then hearing these dozens of women in different countries that would gather together to pray and then come back and say, you know, I was talking to my neighbor and she was sharing just this overwhelming fear that has gripped her. Mm-hmm. And I used to feel that way, and I don't anymore.
Wow.
Like, time and prayer changed me. There are those who started with us in those 8 weeks of live prayer calls. And now 2 years later, just hearing their stories, they've been emailing me that they have not stopped praying. That even though we were no longer meeting live every morning to pray, they continued to meet with Jesus day after day after day. There's one sweet woman who shared with me that in those times of prayer, she was in a transition season, getting ready to retire and wondering like, what will this next season of life look like? And what am I going to do with the time that I have? And spending that time in prayer in God's presence really prepared her heart for what would come next, which is her grandson came to live with them while he was recovering from a drug addiction. Mm. And she said that it required all of her emotional resources, all of her mental focus and a stamina that had not been asked of her in a long time. And she said, those times in prayer prepared me for what was to come, even though I didn't know at the time that my grandson would come live with us in the fall. God knew. God knew. And so he was calling me to spend time with him to prepare so I could love my grandson well. It's just incredible what God does. I think when we take time to pray, it's so often our desire to change circumstances that drives us to prayer. Like we want things outside of us to change. And I think so often God starts by changing us. Mm-hmm. He's saying in your heart, in your life, that's where I want to start. We might get to the other things eventually, but just come be with me. There's so much I want to give you of myself.
So good and so true. And one of the gals that leads up this prayer meeting that I have every Wednesday morning has been ignited prayer movements all over the place. Her husband's a neurosurgeon and they were missionaries in Kenya. And she started all of these different prayer meetings among prayer, focused prayer for doctors, focused prayer for spouses, focused prayer for families. Just amazing. Oh, do we have to take a break? Did we not take our last break, Kim? I'm hearing music. Okay. So engaged in conversation, I did not realize. Okay, but I'll just say this one thing before we go to break. What that she said is she started to pray in one accord with other people. She started to grow so confident in God and less worried about the burdens of her heart. So she cast them over, but shouldering each other's burdens, going to God and standing on scripture, she could walk away from the burden and go, I really did give it to God, and I can now engage in my life. And so maybe you're hearing the call, and I ask you to pick a few of your key people, even if you just start by praying on the phone or Zoom. But start. I challenge you. More with Asherita Chuchu in a minute. A day, no more tears, only joy. We'll see Jesus face to face and we'll know him as he knows us. That day is coming, friends. And Jesus asks us to live ready, to live holy and expectant lives, to live as ones who are spoken for. And prayer life is so important. It's critical. I mean, it's really the conduit to our fellowship with Jesus. My friend Asherita Chuchu joins us today to talk about her beautiful new devotional hardcover. It looks like a classic book that you want on your shelf or your coffee table forever. The content is beautiful. Prayers of Rest, Daily Prompts to Slow Down and Hear God's Voice. And Lori is a listener who texted in. She says, I'm part of a prayer meeting on Zoom that happens every Monday night. It's such a blessing to pray for my brothers and sisters, and we pray for everything that's going on in our country and our world. The conversation is so encouraging. I just bless you, Lori, because we all benefit from people who are mobilized to pray. I think that is just amazing. But I would love to know from you, Asherita, as I said before the break, one of these gals that leads this prayer group that I'm a part of talks about how much her confidence in God has just soared as she's shouldered the burden together with other people, and then they come to God, and then just seeing how God moves. She's just so confident in God that she said, I just worry so much less about things that are true concerns of her heart. How about you?
Yeah, I've had that same experience, Susie. And a lot of it comes from praying together. Like I know a lot of what we've discussed so far has been about individual prayer and approaching God personally in times of prayer. But I truly believe there is such power when we gather together to pray, because it changes us individually, yes, but it changes us as a community of believers as well. I can look back with fondness to so many times that I've gathered with sisters in prayer, where I've written down notes, they were praying scripture that even though I grew up in a Christian family, I'm like, wait, that's in the Bible? Like, you can pray that? That's such a powerful prayer. I want to start praying that too. And so we learn to pray not by reading about prayer or listening to a sermon about prayer. We learn to pray by praying together, by practicing prayer, by hearing one another pray. And this is not in a spirit of comparison, of thinking like, oh, I wish I could pray like them, or, oh, my prayers don't match up to their prayers. Prayer is heartfelt conversation with God. We just get to do it together and listen to each other's dialects, so to speak. Like, we might pray in different ways, but we can grow in confidence in that heart language of prayer as we pray together. I have been so encouraged by women who have prayed for their children in ways that, as a young mom, I didn't even think to pray. I didn't think to pray that my children would grow up and have their siblings as their best friends. But I heard a mom pray that prayer and I said, yes, Lord, that actually is a prayer that I have for my children as well. So I started praying that. So there is just such beauty when we gather together to pray. Susie, I love that you're calling on listeners to text a few friends, to get on Zoom, to get on a phone call, to maybe even walk around a school in your area. Do a prayer walk around the school and pray for the teachers, pray for the students, pray protection, pray that they would come to know Jesus, pray for the next generation, pray for their homes and the marriages that are represented in that school. What a beautiful way for us to engage in spiritual battle on behalf of our communities as we gather together to pray. God will answer. He promises that he's listening and he will move.
Wow. You know, you think again about what scripture says, the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. And the word of God is living and active. I don't ever want any of us. I feel like the points of my call and the different things that I do is to get ready, people ready to meet Jesus. You don't want regrets. You want to be all in, fully engaged, living as ones who are spoken for, stewarding your time, treasure, and talents, and taking God at his word. And so as we start to pray and trust him to be who he says he is, we start to see that he is who he says he is. And I'm telling you, we're not meant to do this alone. And I just feel like the enemy has gotten away with so much in the last 2.5 years to wield fear and to create division and isolation, because he can pick us off one at a time. But if we can say, you know what, not today, enemy, and not tomorrow either. I'm coming together, and however I can, to stand together, pray for my community. Kevin and I pray for our city and our mayor pretty much every day. We pray for the businesses and the churches and the healthcare workers and the teachers, you know, it's like, this is our watch. This is where we live. We are seeking the prosperity of our city. And as you start to just seek the Lord, what is my prayer assignment? And then you gather with other people. I mean, things change. So powerful.
Absolutely. And we change in the midst of that, because as you're listing off those people you're praying for, then maybe the next time you're engaging with someone at that business, maybe you see something you didn't see before. Maybe your heart is more sensitive to a need that they have or a burden that they're carrying. There's an opportunity for you to speak truth and God's love into their life because you've been praying for them. And so our own hearts become more sensitive to God's spirit, to how he wants to move us on mission, because that's how God works in the world. He works in the world through his people. And if we want to be a part of what he's doing, we need to be praying, not because this is a guilt trip, not because it's something God expects of us, but because it's a privilege and we get to partner with him in what he's doing. And as we pray, our hearts become open to saying, God, here I am. I trust you to be faithful, to do what you're going to do. And I'm right here. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to love. God, what do you have for me?
Well, you are such a deep well, Asherita. Anytime I see a book come out by you, I'm like, yep, I want to talk with her. You probably could write about closet organization, and I might just tackle that with you.
Oh, I don't know.
But I normally, you know, this is a deeper life show, and I always know you're going to produce a deeper life book. And I love your walk with God, and I love the way you steward what he's entrusted to you. So thank you for the time today. It's been fantastic.
Susie, thank you so much for having me. It's been my privilege.
So precious. Asherita Chuchu is my guest today. Her book, Prayers of Rest, Daily Prompts to Slow Down and hear God's voice. If we ever needed to slow down to hear God's voice and to seek his face, it is absolutely right now. And as she said, this isn't an ought to or a should do, it's a get to. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.